Hey everyone, welcome over to the Speak the Truth podcast. I am your host, retired Green Beret, Matt Tardio. Why does Benjamin Netanyahu want to go in the Gaza Strip, southernmost city of Rafah? What is the big deal with it, and why is he not going to budge? He straight told Anthony Blinken that he's going to go into Rafah with or without U.S. support. So why is he so hell-bent on going in there? Well, it's very simple. There's still three Hamas battalions estimated to be in Rafah, and they are currently taunting Netanyahu, putting out statements, making it known that while he's not going in and the IDF is not going in, that they are building their defenses on the ground. Additionally, there is still over 100 hostages that haven't been recovered yet inside the Gaza Strip. Those hostages were taken on October 7th, and they've been in Hamas's custody for almost 6 months. Now, some of those hostages are actually U.S. citizens. They're dual citizens between Israel and the United States. Some of them were serving in the IDF, but they're still American citizens. One of them is an elderly man. He's over 60 years old. His wife was actually taken hostage with him out of one of the kibbutzes on October 7th. Now, she has since been returned, but he is still in Hamas custody. Now, an estimated 30 of those hostages have been confirmed dead or presumed dead by the Israeli Defense Force. So every day they're in captivity, they run a greater risk of being killed. Additionally, with this war raging on for 6 months now, the question really should be, how is it that Hamas is still capable of fighting? And I don't mean how are they still capable of pulling triggers. I mean, how are those bullets getting into their weapons that they're pulling the triggers on? It's a very good question. Israel is reliant on U.S. support if they want to continue on with this conflict. If they want to go into Rafah, if they want to fight Hezbollah, they need U.S. support. But Hamas supposedly has been closed off inside of the Gaza Strip this whole time. And yet, for 6 months, they want you to believe that Hamas has been fighting without any outside support, that somehow they have just this massive weapons cache. But that's simply not the case. You see, a lot of the weapons are being smuggled in across the border. The same way the IDF needed resupplied, so did Hamas at some point in time. And a lot of those are being smuggled into the country for Hamas. So it's imperative that Netanyahu goes down and secures Rafah to gain control of the Egyptian border. Now, even though the IDF has taken over the vast majority of the Gaza Strip minus Rafah, they are still facing a lot of fighting in Gaza City, in Khan Yunis, in several portions of the Gaza Strip, and it's pockets of violence that they're dealing with. Even after they went into the Shifa hospital the first time, the IDF just returned not that long ago and conducted a multi-day operation where they arrested over 700 suspected terrorists inside and around Shifa. They also recovered millions of dollars in different types of currency that was being held inside the Shifa hospital, and weapons and equipment. If we jump over here to the map, it makes it a little bit more clear. Now, this got put out by ISW, and these are the attacks in the Gaza Strip between February 22nd and April 3rd of 2024. And you can see the hot spots, one being around the Shifa hospital, two being just south of Gaza City, and then you have little pockets of fighting all the way down to the bottom. Now, Netanyahu has stated repeatedly over time that his goal is to eliminate the Hamas threat, to eliminate Hamas. And there are a lot of them hiding down in Rafah, but so is an estimated 1.4 million internally displaced Palestinians who were fleeing from the fighting. Now, Netanyahu's plan is to evacuate those civilians and then attack Rafah, or at least that's what has been released so far. But just this last week, U.S. officials actually said that that plan was garbage, and that it would take over 4 months for Netanyahu to evacuate all 1.4 million internally displaced people from inside of Rafah. Currently, Israeli officials and U.S. officials are working on a revised policy in order to take the city. Why is it such a big deal? And it's not just a big deal for Israel either. It's a big deal for the international community. As a matter of fact, Iran told Hezbollah that if Israel goes into Rafah, that they are then given the green light to go and attack Israel proper from Lebanon. Hezbollah has over 100,000 fighters at their disposal. They also have precision-guided missiles, drones capable of striking Israel proper from as far north as Beirut. They've got a lot of firepower and equipment and manpower that they can bring to the table against Israel. So with all of that information being stated, with the international community being in an uproar, with risking his northern border, with risking lives of hostages, why? Would Netanyahu want to go into Rafah? To properly answer that question, you actually have to understand terrorist mentality. And yes, Hamas is in fact a terrorist organization by definition. Now, in August of 2005, Israel pulled the IDF out of the Gaza Strip and left it to the Palestinians. Over the last 19 years, what have they done with that? Well, they've allowed Hamas to flourish, and they've built well over 300 miles worth of tunnels underneath the Gaza Strip. Additionally, it's provided a safe bed for terrorism, which has been backed by Iran, providing well over $200 million annually, as estimated by the U.S. Department of State. On October 7th, Hamas was able to fire thousands of rockets at Israel, breach the fence line, and murder over 1,200 people. That's what happened. That's what Israel has learned when they leave terrorism unchecked. It is a hard concept for people who live outside of Israel to understand the threat of violence they face on a daily basis, because it's not just October 7th. Shootings and bombings are common occurrences. They happen so often in Israel that it is not uncommon to see Israelis walking around with carbine rifles when they go out to get coffee, when they go out to eat, when they go to walk their dog. Israelis have been living under the threat of Hamas and other terrorists, such as the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, for far too long. Netanyahu, at his core, knows that if he was to leave Hamas unchecked, if he was to pull out of the Gaza Strip today just to get his hostages back, that maybe not tomorrow or the next day, but in the future, Hamas would be capable of rebuilding, rearming, re-equipping, and launching likely even larger attack against Israel. And to simply put, this is unacceptable. No nation should have to live under that type of threat of terrorist attacks right outside of their border. Further, you have to understand that Hamas does not view this as just a regular conflict. They actually view it as a religious war. Now, whether you like it or not, that's the truth. And why do we know this? Well, because in the revised charter from 2017, as you can see here, as what is highlighted on your screen, according to Hamas, Palestine is an Islamic land. And there are several references to that throughout the charter. Now, they define Palestine as encompassing all of Israel. This is simply not about recognition of the Palestinian state. This is about Hamas wanting an Arab Islamic land, period. They put it in black and white for the world to see. And yet their propaganda machine has been going strong, trying to convince you that it has to do about oppression of the Palestinian people. That is false. Now, the Western media would like you to believe that the Gaza Strip has always looked like this. These common images that you're currently seeing rolling through your social media, where it is just a decimated landscape. And in fact, it is today. However, that's not how it always looked. Welcome to Google Maps, your best friend in determining how big of lies the Palestinian people like to fill you with. If we go and we zoom in on the northern section of the Gaza Strip and we go just to the northwest of Jabalia, you can see this little thing on the map. It's called White Chalet. I want you to click on that and I want you to scroll down to the photos and take a gander at it. When we open it up, what you're going to see is that the Gaza Strip itself actually had some really nice parts to it. As a matter of fact, it was quite beautiful. Here you see a 4.5-star resort as rated on Google, and it's got excellent reviews. People were living a pretty decent life inside of the Gaza Strip. There's actually pictures that you can go through and you can see from different social media posts of people showing how great the Gaza Strip was, how beautiful it was, and it's not a lie. It was a pretty beautiful place. People often have described Gaza as an open-air prison, but what self-proclaimed Palestinian Americans won't tell you is that oftentimes they're able to travel back and forth and visit their homeland. Now, they'll tell you about how they're harassed going in and out of the Gaza Strip by the IDF and by Israel and the scrutiny that they go through at the airport, that that's not occurring today. You see, I can say this with confidence today because in 1972 at the Lod Airport, Israel learned their lesson. 26 people were killed in a terror attack. It involved rifles, hand grenades, all sorts of stuff. And when I tell you about this terror attack, likely in your brain, you're picturing possibly Palestinian type people, how you would picture Hamas in your head. You would think maybe the PLF did this, which they were involved. But in reality, it was three people who came from the Japanese Red Army that got contracted to go and conduct the attack. Because of that, Israel learned their lesson, and today they put everybody through scrutiny. It doesn't matter if you're Palestinian, it doesn't matter if you're white, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish. You will face the same scrutiny going through the airport as anybody else. So now we realize IDF isn't always racially profiling people that are coming in. The people in the Gaza Strip can travel in and out. If you're a Palestinian American, your family could own land and you can go back and visit. And in fact, a lot do several times over the year until this started. We also know that people inside of the Gaza Strip lived a decent life by their own social media posts that they show. Flourishing markets. You guys have five-star resorts. There's all sorts of stuff going on inside of the Gaza Strip. It wasn't completely and totally oppressed. No, Hamas wants to fight because of religious reasons, because they view all of Palestine, which encompasses Israel in their eyes, as an Arab Islamic land. And they will not stop until they've accomplished that goal. So a hostage exchange and the IDF pulling out of the Gaza Strip only allows them to reset and later reattack against Israel. And in the meantime, Israeli civilians will be under the threat of attack. And so Netanyahu's over it. He's tired of seeing his people get killed. He's tired of wasting money on the Iron Dome when really the issue is they just need to be taken out. Now, if you don't want to take my word for it and you don't want to take Israel's word for it, take Egypt. Egypt is refusing to let the Palestinian people from Gaza out from the Gaza Strip and into some safe space in the Sinai Peninsula, which is essentially a massive desert. But it's a huge risk to Egypt because they know 70% of the people, yes, that's not a made-up statistic, 70% of the Palestinians actually support Hamas. It's where they are recruiting most of their fighters from. Netanyahu's hand is being forced to go into Rafah because of Hamas and because of the constant threat that they will face should they leave Hamas alone in Rafah to rebuild and reorganize. Israel will undoubtedly fall under more attacks should Netanyahu choose to do that. So he's up against a rock and a hard place. The international community that wants to impose sanctions on him for taking care of his own people, or the ever real threat on a daily basis of terrorists who want to attack his people. His job is to protect his people. And in order to protect his people, he has to go into Rafah. There is no other way about it. And Hamas, make no mistake about it, will attack Israel. They are a very formidable foe with backing from the world's largest sponsor of terror and friends such as Hezbollah, who are willing to back them up from Lebanon and from Syria. The world could learn a lot from this conflict about the threat that Israel is under on a daily basis, not just from Hamas inside of the Gaza Strip, but also from Hezbollah and from Iran. To be quite frank, Rafah is pretty small on the problem list that Israel deals with on a daily basis. Even as we sit here right now filming this video, Israel is under the threat of attack from Iran and under the threat of attack from Hezbollah. And all because members of the IRGC were meeting with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad inside of their consulate building in Syria. And Israel chose self-defense and took out not just the top commander of the IRGC, but likely members of the PIJ as well. At the end of the day, Netanyahu is under two threats. One from the international community threatening sanctions against them because they're not happy with how warfare is being conducted inside of the Gaza Strip. The other is from the terrorists that quite literally threaten the lives of Israelis on a daily basis. He does not care about the international community's opinion, other than saving the support that he needs. Short of that, he doesn't care. If you learned something in today's video, don't forget to like and subscribe. We do live sessions Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Tuesday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I hope to see you guys over there. Peace, love, and happiness, and God bless. I'm out of here.